From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, in for Terry Gross. Today...
God, I'm so funny when I write mean things about TV shows. How come no one's hired me to write for one?
Because our lives are garbage and it's the world's fault.
Today, we talk with Julie Klausner and Billy Eichner. They star in the Hulu comedy series Difficult People. They play New York comics who are failing at becoming famous, but are obsessed with pop culture and constantly making snarky, hilarious remarks about celebrities, TV shows, movies, and theater. Billy Eichner will sing a few bars of his favorite TV theme.
My heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
This could not be more on the nose, me on Fresh Air talking about the Golden Girls. This interview better get a GLAAD award, Terry. That's all I'm saying.
Also, Justin Chang reviews the new film, Patty Cakes. That's all coming up on Fresh Air. First, the news. This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, editor of the website TV Worth Watching, sitting in for Terry Gross. Today's guests, Billy Eichner and Julie Klausner, have made careers not only of being funny, but of being abrasive. Separately, they've gravitated towards comedy shows and stand-up routines that are anything but self-flattering or all-embracing. And together, they've teamed as an us-against-the-world duo in a Hulu sitcom called Difficult People, which launched its third season earlier this month. Today on Fresh Air, we'll hear from them both, starting with Billy Eichner. Before joining forces with Julie Klausner on Difficult People, Eichner worked with her and made a name for himself as the star of Billy on the Street, a series brought to cable by True TV. Eichner is obsessed with pop culture, and Billy on the Street is a crazy, manic quiz show in which he's the host, the streets of Manhattan are the studio, and the contestants are strangers he runs up to, asking such questions as, name a celebrity that's redefining Hollywood's beauty standards. Terry spoke with Billy Eichner last year and began with a clip from Billy on the Street in which he was giving a pop quiz to a random passerby on a New York sidewalk.
Okay, here we go, Kevin. Immigrant or real American? If you get enough right, you have a prize to take home to Alex. Here we go. Immigrant or real American? And away we go. Mila Kunis.
Immigrant.
Yes, correct. Jeffrey Dahmer.
Real American.
Yes, correct. Pierce Brosnan.
Immigrant.
Yes, correct. Charles Manson.
A real American.
Yes, correct. Salma Hayek.
Immigrant.
Yes, correct. Gloria Estefan.
Immigrant.
Yes, correct. Ted Bundy.
Real American.
Yes, correct. Charlize Theron.
Immigrant.
Yes, correct. Antonio Banderas.
Immigrant.
Yes, correct. The Unabomber.
Real American.
Yes, correct. Craig Ferguson.
He's an immigrant.
Yes, he is. Lee Harvey Oswald.
Real American.
Yes, correct. The Boston Strangler.
Oh, God. Real American.
Yes, correct. Cesar Millan, the Dog Whisperer.
He's an immigrant.
Yes, he is. Timothy McVeigh.
Real American.
Yes, he is. Natalie Portman.
She's an immigrant.
Yes, she is. Jackie Chan.
Immigrant.
Yes, correct. Casey Anthony.
She's a real American.
Yes, she is. Carlos Santana.
He's an immigrant.
Yes, correct. Albert Einstein.
He is an immigrant.
Yes, he was. O.J. Simpson.
Real American.
Yes, correct. Did he win? Yes, you win. You win. Bisexual. You win. Let's see what you win. Oh, bisexual. Look at this. Look, if you like a cuckoo clock, you'll love a Cuoco clock. It's an alarm clock that wakes you up and tells you what Kelly Cuoco said when they asked her if she's a feminist. Are you ready for this? Sure. Here we go.
Is it bad if I say no?
Yes, there you go, Alex.
Kevin.
Oh, Kevin, yes, Alex is your boyfriend.
But I'll give it to Alex.
Of course you will. Who won't you give it to, Kevin?
Anyone.
Billy Eichner, welcome to Fresh Air.
Hi, Terry. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I mean, that's really hilarious. And it seems like that has more political implications than your typical Billy on the Street does. It seems
Correct.
So what inspired that?
I think that as the show has evolved, we've started to play more with political tones in certain ways. Actually, what's interesting is that the Billy on the Street videos started out as a segment in my live shows about 10 years ago, more actually, in New York that I did. I did a live late night talk show called Creation Nation with friends of mine. I had a sidekick and a band, and I wrote the whole thing. And it had the form of a late night talk show, but we did it on stage because no one was giving me a TV show at the time. And these segments started out as a video I would show in that live show. And actually, when I introduced the video, I said it was a chance for me to try to break out of my pop culture bubble and that I was hitting the streets to specifically talk to people about politics and real issues, issues that actually mattered to the world and not just pop culture, because the rest of the live show was largely about pop culture and the entertainment industry and celebrity. And the first couple of questions in every video were about politics. And then halfway through the video, I would veer back to pop culture questions. And that's when I would start freaking out and running around. It was the celebrity stuff that got me worked up. And the message of that was that I, no matter how hard I tried, this persona, because the persona on stage was not exactly like Billy on the Street, but similar, that no matter how hard I tried, I could not get out of the pop culture bubble, that ultimately what I cared about was the entertainment industry.
Well, you know, the early on the streets that you were describing, where you'd start off by asking about politics and then it would veer into pop culture, and that's where you'd really get excited. It's kind of like putting on the same level, like, what's the cause of climate change? And name a Hollywood celebrity that's redefining Hollywood's beauty standards. like they're totally equal in importance in the world. And that's one of the things I find really funny about your show, is that it gives this like huge significance to the more trivial aspects of pop culture.
Yes, yes. I mean, the Billy on the Street persona is truly inspired by who I was as a child. Obviously not having an adult perspective on the world. I always kept up with current events. That's just, I don't know, I was that kid. But it was pop culture, entertainment, Hollywood award shows. These are the things that really captivated me. As a kid, I would watch the Oscars and every award show with my parents. I would make lists of who was going to win. I'd be doing Oscar predictions months ahead of time. And not only for the Oscars, for the Grammys. This is just what excited me as a kid. And, I have a very vivid memory. I remember the day I walked to the larger one of our newsstands that we had and found Variety. And I didn't know what it was. There was no internet at the time. And I remember reading through Variety and finding out there was a list of not only the top 10 movies that weekend at the box office, which every newspaper would print, but the top 50. And my mind was blown.
Well, let's hear another example of you on the street. And unlike the immigrant or real American one, this is truly just about popular culture. So here you are on the street, just like stopping people who have no clue what's going on and asking them questions. And this is an excerpt of Billy Eichner's TV show, Billy on the Street.
Miss. Did you hear that Reese Witherspoon celebrated her 40th birthday in style? Excuse me. Miss, please turn around. Reese Witherspoon celebrated her 40th birthday in style. She had a great time.
Nothing to do with me.
I understand, but she celebrated her 40th birthday and she had a wonderful time. She had a great night. Sir, do you want to go the full Monty?
Full Monty?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What are you talking about? Is it a card game?
No, it means we get naked.
Naked? What the f*** wrong with you?
Oh, okay. Sorry. Sir, is New Girl having a quiet renaissance?
I don't think so.
Okay. Miss, for a dollar, Vince Gilligan, J.J. Abrams, Shonda Rhimes, are you excited to be living in a time when TV creators themselves are known personalities?
I didn't get the question. Sorry, I'm like in the middle of my...
I'm talking about Vince Gilligan.
I don't know who
he created Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay. I know about this TV show, but I didn't watch it.
What shows do you watch?
I'm working like 14 hours a day.
That leaves 10 hours.
By the time I get home, like, I'm super tired.
Okay, but it doesn't take much. You sit on your couch, fire up the DVR.
Sure, I watched American Horror Story.
Okay, that's good. Well, that's a start.
Okay, so what was the question about, like...
I was asking about Shonda Rhimes. Ryan Murphy, too, though, a great example.
Okay, but what was the question? I didn't get...
Are you excited to be living in a time when TV creators themselves are known personalities?
I really don't care.
I don't know. I think that's hilarious.
Well, thank you.
Because, I mean, are these actual headlines? These sound like they really are ripped out of entertainment magazines and, entertainment headlines. The kinds of headlines, though, that, like, hype things, you know, like that Reese Witherspoon celebrated her 40th birthday in style, like...
Yes, sometimes I do find these things in a magazine or on an entertainment website. And if they're not, it's meant to sound like that. You know, just the idea that someone's going about their day in New York on their way to the job, running to catch the bus to pick their kid up from daycare. But I'm going to stop you and ask about Kate Winslet's Oscar chances.
Right.
That's the general idea.
Yeah, like the world is going to hell. But you're going to find out about it. How people feel about living in a world where TV creators themselves are becoming known personalities.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I love it because I think people think that you're like insulting people on the street, but I think you're just kind of making fun of a certain type of pop culture writing in a way, a certain type of fandom, and a certain kind of like exaggerated importance to things, even though you are truly passionate about this stuff, as am I. I mean, I'm so deep into pop culture too, but I think it's hilarious to make fun of it in this way.
Exactly. And I think the whole show is about my own personal love-hate relationship mm-hmm. with my interest in the entertainment industry. As I've gotten older, I realized it's ridiculous. Award shows are fun, but completely arbitrary and absurd. And yet, I will watch every single one of them. And this is, you know, Billy on the Street is inspired by that love-hate relationship.
So did you try stand-up comedy before doing what you do now?
I started out as a very traditional actor. The first thing I ever did in terms of performance was singing. When I opened my mouth to sing as a kid, I kind of randomly had a really good singing voice. And so that put me on the actor track and the musicals track. I went to Northwestern. I was a theater major there. And then when I got to New York after college, I was doing the typical struggling actor thing. And people had told me that I was funny. I would ad-lib in plays even if I wasn't supposed to. So I thought I should maybe try to focus on comedy. And I went to the Upright Citizens Brigade, the famous improv school in New York, and I took improv classes. And ultimately, I ended up writing the show that I mentioned earlier, Creation Nation. And that became the first thing I did, which put me on the map, at least in New York, in terms of the industry getting to know me and press and things like that.
Since you love TV and you love to sing, could you sing a few bars of your favorite TV theme?
Oh, my goodness. On the spot? I'm trying to think. Let's see. Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. My heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. There you go.
There you go.
Golden Girls, everyone.
Did you watch that show a lot?
Oh, of course I did. Who are you talking to? Yeah, of course. My parents and I, we watched it every Saturday night. Couldn't get enough of it.
What did you like about it?
You know, the writing was good. You know, the Golden Girls still holds up. I'll still catch it, you know, in reruns. It's still funny. And the actresses were fantastic. This could not be more on the nose. Me on Fresh Air talking about the Golden Girls. But I mean, singing the theme.
Yes.
And singing the theme song. This interview better get a GLAAD award, Terry. That's all I'm saying. And I haven't gotten one yet, so maybe this is it. It was perfect. The comic timing, the writing, it was very progressive. It was the mid-80s. They're doing episodes about gay marriage. Not that I even recognized that at the time, but looking back. They were wonderful. And, you know, those actresses, well, particularly Bea Arthur, she came from the theater. She had a stage actor's timing. And I loved Broadway as a kid. My parents and I would go all the time to plays, to musicals, off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway. We weren't rich people, but my parents and I shared an interest in the theater, and so we went a lot, and that definitely inspired me.
You did some acting as a kid, right? And you had a little cameo on Saturday Night Live when you were 12, I think, playing John Goodman's son.
Yes.
Did you audition for other roles and for commercials?
I did. I did a couple of commercials.
Which ones?
I did a couple. Oh, boy. Mortal Kombat, the video game. I did industrials, which are almost like after-school specials. What else did I do? I didn't do much. I really wanted to be on Broadway as a singer, but I was already 6 feet tall. I was really fat as a kid. I just was. And there weren't many roles for me. I remember I auditioned for... It's funny, I just saw the Broadway revival of Falsettos, which is beautiful and maybe my favorite musical of all time, certainly one of them. And one of the leads in that is a 13-year-old Jewish kid. It's about him getting bar mitzvahed. And I auditioned for the original production when I was 12 or 13. And James Lapine, the director, after I sang, went out into the waiting room and told my dad that I was really good, but I was already taller than the actor playing my stepfather, even at that age. And so this kept being a running theme. I was too tall. I was too this. I was too that. And then I never fully committed to the child actor thing. I also liked being a regular kid and being a student. I ended up deciding not to go to the performing arts high school and instead going to Stuyvesant, which is a specialized math and science high school of all things. So I liked being a student, and I got back into theater in a major way in college.
Was your father impressed when James Lapine told him that you were good even though you were wrong for the role?
Yes, My dad went to all my auditions with me. My mom couldn't get off work as easily, and my dad could. And I think my dad got a kick out of the whole thing because he loved show business from afar. My dad loved it. I remember as soon as we left that audition, this is just coming back to me now, we stopped at a payphone. There were no cell phones. And he called my manager and told my manager what James Lapine had said. And my dad was not a stage dad in any way. He didn't push me. It was all about what I wanted to do or didn't want to do. But he loved that someone said I was talented.
And James Lapine wrote the book for Sondheim's musical Into the Woods, for people who don't know who he is.
Yes, he's a very celebrated Broadway director, writer.
Comedian Billy Eichner speaking to Terry Gross last year. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to Terry's interview from last year with Billy Eichner. He's the host and star of Billy on the Street and co-star with Julie Klausner of Difficult People, the Hulu sitcom that launched its third season earlier this month. Here's a clip from the series. Billy's character and Julie's character have gone to a gay bar in Hoboken. It happens to be on National Coming Out Day. Lately, Billy's been feeling too old and unattractive to be noticed. And here, he can't even get the bartender's attention.
Well, there you have it. New York or New Jersey, I am invisible in gay bars.
Hey, Grease Live, pay attention to my friend.
Could we get the coming out day drink special, I guess?
The 2-for-1 is only for people who just came out. Did you just come out?
Me?
Yeah, I just came out today.
Hey, welcome to the tribe. This round's on me.
Thank you. Did you see that?
Yeah, I didn't know Diesel still made that wash of denim.
No, Julie, don't you understand? Nobody knows us here. I could pretend that I just came out, and then guys who are way out of my league would start paying attention to me.
So what are you waiting for?
Everyone, sorry to bother you. I just wanted to make an announcement. My name's Billy, and I just came out of the closet. Furthermore, this is my wife, and I'm gonna leave her.
But I'm okay with it!
It's Billy Eichner and Julie Klausner in a scene from Difficult People, which is on Hulu. So did you come up with that concept, or was that Julie Klausner?
That was Julie. Yeah, that was Julie, and I'm assuming an assist from Scott King, our wonderful showrunner who co-writes a number of the episodes, and that was all Julie. Julie somehow knows more about the nuances of modern gay relationships and dating and sexual relationships than I do sometimes. Sometimes I'm shocked at the things Julie knows about gay culture and gay subcultures, and honestly, I'm very proud to be a part of that show, because I really do think, some may disagree, but I do think that it is possibly the only show on TV showing a realistic portrayal of what it means to be a single gay person, at least in a big city.
You've spoken very fondly about your parents, who have both passed away. Your mother died, I think, when you were 20, and your father in 2011. Had your mother been ill? Did you know that this was?
No, my mom had a heart attack, and it came out of nowhere. She was 54. My dad had leukemia for about 3 months. He was 80 when he passed. My dad had me later in life, and so he had leukemia and was alive for about 3 months between diagnosis and passing away.
What's the transition been like for you to be somebody without parents after having been so close to yours?
Yes, it's been a very strange trajectory because I struggled for so many years. I mean, I was doing these videos. I was doing these live shows. I had a lot of fans in New York. The press would write about me, but I couldn't get a paying job. And so my father and I were really like a team. I mean, he was very supportive. He'd come to every single one of my live shows. My mom had passed away at that point. She'd passed away when I was in college. And then strangely, my dad passed away on March 30th, 2011. And about 6 weeks later, I finally sold Billy on the Street as a TV show. And in December of that year, it was on the air on the network it started on, Fuse. And that all happened in 1 year. So that obviously was, to say the least, very bittersweet because my dad just missed seeing it all come to fruition finally, and certainly has missed everything that's happened for me since. And a lot of nice things have happened for me. So that is tough. But I also know that, you know, they were so great that really has stayed with me, and they would have been so excited. I do think there would have been a lot of funny moments in the way that they processed my fame and all my celebrity encounters. And I do think about that. But obviously it's very sad, and timing is everything.
Billy Eichner, co-star of Difficult People, which began its third season earlier this month on Hulu. He spoke with Terry last year. After a break, we'll visit with the other star of Difficult People, Julie Klausner. And film critic Justin Chang will review the new independent film Patty Cakes. I'm David Bianculli, and this is Fresh Air.
The Neubauer Family Foundation supports WHYY's Fresh Air and its commitment to sharing ideas and encouraging meaningful conversation. Support for NPR comes from this station and from Progressive Insurance, offering a way to buy home insurance with their Home Quote Explorer tool. Custom quotes and rates are available online. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Now that's Progressive. And from LifeLock, reminding consumers that identity theft isn't limited to credit card fraud. Identity thieves can steal from 401k and investment accounts or get a loan in someone else's name. More at LifeLock.com.
This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, in for Terry Gross. Today's next guest, Julie Klausner, created, writes, and co-stars with Billy Eichner in the Hulu comedy series Difficult People, which launched its third season earlier this month. She and Billy Eichner play best friends living in New York. They're both aspiring comics who are failing at becoming famous. One of the show's executive producers is Amy Poehler. Julie Klausner was a co-executive producer and writer for Billy Eichner's other TV series, Billy on the Street. She also did some writing for Joan Rivers. And she is obsessed enough with pop culture that she used to be a recapper, writing episode recaps for The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and New York. Terry spoke with Julie Klausner last year.
Julie Klausner, welcome to Fresh Air. I want to quote something you write in your book. And you write, there's a fantasy I've always entertained about connecting with somebody who hated as much about the world as me. somebody crank and crank contrarian who loved dishing about successful people we both knew. So how did that go?
It went great, Terry. That was basically basically my intention. I published my vision board, I guess. but in the book, I was talking about a romantic partner. And on the show, you know, there very much is a romance between our characters, but we are best friends.
But in real life, have you tried to, like, form relationships based on hating things and based on, like, what you don't like about pop culture or what you don't like about certain celebrities? And how far does that get you? That deep connection through, I don't like it either.
I think it gets you pretty far, but it goes beyond the superficial of what I don't like about celebrities. I think when you connect with someone that has always felt like an outsider or who has not found her tribe yet or is still looking to be heard in a way that she, I keep saying the third person, I'm clearly talking about myself, the way that I didn't feel like I was necessarily heard or understood growing up, then there is a romance to that commiseration. It's a shared experience. So I don't, I don't acknowledge precisely how shallow that sounds. I think that it is rooted in a more simple desire to connect with someone that you have something in common with that's actually pretty deep and emotional and comes from, you know, in some cases, some pretty traumatic childhood experiences.
So I want to play another clip. And this is from the third episode of the first season of Difficult People. And Billy, who's played by Billy Eichner, was going to appear as the bartender on the Bravo talk show Watch What Happens Live. But he's asked to leave because one of the celebrity guests that night, Chelsea Handler, didn't like the fact that Billy had made fun of her on Twitter. So Billy's really depressed about getting thrown out of the show. And he and you go back to your apartment where your boyfriend is also, he's really depressed. And he works on PBS and Pledge Week isn't going well for him. So Billy speaks first.
I was banned from Bravo.
Congratulations.
It's Chelsea Handler's fault.
No, it's my fault too. I need to stop being mean to celebrities. Every time I talk about a famous person, I lose a potential gig.
Talking about celebrities is what we do, okay? It's the only thing that comes more naturally to us than breathing air.
I know, but maybe it's time to pull Perez Hilton.
Pose in a Speedo with a baby in the bathtub?
No, I mean stop being mean to celebrities.
Just as it's starting to pay off? Chelsea Handler knows who you are now. Maybe it's just a question of picking your feuds as your star rises. I'm hungry. Are you hungry, Arthur? Is there dinner?
No, I'm sorry, Noodles. I was just far too spent when I got home. Would you like pizza?
I guess.
Arthur, are you okay?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Billy. And I'm sorry I didn't get up to greet you when you came in. It's just pledge drive week at PBS, and it is even crazier than last year.
Oh, my God, I just got invited to the Simpsons Live at Town Hall after party.
Oh, I didn't get that invitation. Probably because I'm mean to everyone. I bet I said something provocative about Yardley Smith on Instagram at some point.
Is it Yardley or Yeardley?
I don't know.
And an invitation will always be redundant because you will always be my plus one.
Well, thank you.
What am I, flake sandwich meat?
And as far as the whole being nice to celebrities thing, I'm not in favor of it, particularly because Chrissy Teigen just weighed in on the Greek elections.
Oh, well, she doesn't have quite the shrewd political mind of Anaya Rivera. No, I don't want to be mean anymore.
Oh, so that was Billy Eichner and my guest Julie Klausner on an episode of Difficult People, which Julie writes, stars in, and is the executive producer of. So they're so surprised that being nasty to people actually has repercussions. So, but I'm wondering how this has played out in your life. I mean, you're on Twitter all the time. You've done recaps. So when you've said something bad about people, has that ever come back and slapped you in the face?
Yes, but like our characters on the show, I am so amazed every time it happens because in my mind I am not famous. I am not listened to or paid attention to. And I think our characters on the show believe in their worldview that they're so inconsequential and they're so ignored. Our characters will always use the passive tense because we believe that it's the world's fault and not ours. There's nothing we can do to even that score. But whenever that does happen, there is a certain amount of surprise in the sense of, oh, you were listening? Thank you.
So let's hear another scene from this series. And this is from the first episode of the first season. And you're having lunch with your mother in a restaurant. And she is played by the great Andrea Martin, who got her start on SCTV.
Hi. Don't you look pretty when you smile? Oh, honey, do you know this Lena Dunham?
Yeah, actually.
Apparently, she's doing great. She's younger than you. She has tattoos. Anyway, this article says it is a great time now for women in comedy.
That's very helpful. Thanks, Mom.
So, aren't you going to ask me if I finish my hypnosis course?
Wow, that would have been a breakneck pace for a change of subjects if both subjects weren't you.
I finished my hypnosis course. When can I practice on you?
You're not hypnotizing me.
It's not like I tell you you're a chicken and then you act like a chicken.
That very well may be, but I still don't want you to do it.
You're lucky to have a mom who's a shrink.
Yes, I'm a walking gratitude list.
Yeah. I asked for sparkling. How's Billy?
He's good. You know, he is just getting over this guy is the only thing.
Josh?
I don't know if you met him.
I can hypnotize him. It's not like I tell him he's a chicken, then all of a sudden he becomes a chicken or something. Did you get that article I sent you about Palestine?
Yes.
Because I'm about to resend it. There we are. What else?
Andrea Martin and my guest Julie Klausner in a scene from Difficult People. So the mother that you've created for the series is so self-absorbed. Like everything, absolutely everything is an anthem to herself. But in the acknowledgments to your book, you write, you dedicate the book to your parents and you write, I love you so much, it is actually ridiculous. So make the connection for me between how much you love your actual parents and what a monster the mother in the series is.
Well, the monster in the series is not my real mother. I want to make that clear that she is a fictional character that Andrea Martin plays so beautifully and hilariously that we began writing for her as Marilyn. I mean, she made this character someone that it became a complete and utter joy to write for, and that doesn't come from real life experiences. I don't think I'd be here talking to you if I had a mother like that. The notion of the mom being as self-centered as she is and conditional with her love and as lousy of a listener and someone that repeats herself as much as she does, you know, she repeated herself twice in that scene and assumes that people are as bad of a listener as she is, comes from wanting to establish a world in which my character could exist and explaining why she is as, I mean, difficult as she is. And ideally setting up some opportunity for people to sympathize with her for having a mom that's more self-centered than she is.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Julie Klausner. She created, writes, and co-stars in the Hulu series Difficult People. We'll be right back after a break. This is Fresh Air.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Whole Foods Market, offering lunchbox staples geared to children, including sandwich and snack ideas using natural and organic ingredients. A variety of back-to-school items are available at Whole Foods Market. We believe in real food. And from Cancer Treatment Centers of America, which publishes treatment results for 11 types of cancer, including quality of life ratings, to help patients and their caregivers make informed choices about their care. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
This is Fresh Air, and if you're just joining us, my guest is Julie Klausner, and she created, stars in, along with Billy Eichner, and writes the Hulu comedy series Difficult People. So I want to talk a little bit about casting Difficult People. It's a very representative cast. I mean, you have black actors and white actors, gay actors and straight actors, thin actors and heavy actors, a trans actor. And a great actor who should be better known than he is, who I don't know what other categories he fits into, but that, that one would be James Urbaniak. Did you set about trying to make like a very representative cast and to have very, like, you know, diverse characters?
Absolutely. It was never something that was imposed on us or an afterthought. It was just part of the fabric of the world that we wanted to show. And we also wanted to show how trans people can be jerks too. That, you know, there's a whole range of people in New York City, in our world. You know, Billy and Julie aren't the only difficult people. The people around them are pretty awful too, or at least difficult. And I think an important part of inclusiveness and diversity in TV and film has to do with writing characters that are not, you know, perfect or
role
idealistic
models.
Or exactly, yeah. And Shekina Naifak, who plays Lola, is so irreverent and hilarious, and she was so excited at the idea of playing a trans character that doesn't get killed or isn't a magical, perfect presence. And we got to do things with her character, like comments on the misinterpretation of who she is. Cole Escola's character, Matthew, is a sort of effeminate theater fanatic who works with Billy at the cafe as a waiter. And he treats Shekina's character like a drag queen and says things like, "Yes, honey." And Lola has to remind him that she's not a drag queen and shuts him down. And that stuff, I've never seen it before. You know, some of the diversity is political, but a lot of it just comes from the fact that, you know, a big challenge of writing is, well, have I seen that before? And would I like to see that?
So you are obviously very passionate about popular culture, which is why you can have so many funny jokes insulting various aspects of popular culture, because you clearly care deeply about it and really know it well. So what did TV and movies and music mean to you when you were a kid growing up?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's kind of a cliche, or at least a modern adaptation of, I guess, At the Ballet from A Chorus Line, but it was a very accessible way to escape all of the social challenges of not necessarily fitting in with my peers in class and instead finding a greater connection in something that was on the screen or on stage. And it took me to emotional places that real life experiences didn't necessarily. Mm-hmm. So it helped me a lot.
So in one of your podcasts in which you talked about seeing the revival of Cats, you talked about how when you were five, you went to the theater and saw Cats. And, you know, the cats go out into the audience, and one of the cats came up to you and touched you. You remembered the cat's orange nail polish, and you wondered, like, is that the moment that you thought you should become a performer? So what did that moment mean to you, especially as someone who's not a participator?
I was five, I think. So I was very impressionable. And I remember the orange nail polish. It was chipped. And I remember thinking, oh, this is like a real cool girl. She reminded me of my babysitter at the time, who was also cool. And I looked up to her and I thought, look at that. Holy cow. And then the rest of it is all emotion that I can try to, you know, retroactively infuse with reason. But it really just comes down to, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Broadway and kiddies. And the feeling of just being exposed to this intensity that was very escapist and exciting. And then later you grow older and you're like, why do the cats have to come into the audience? But I did look over at the revival. I did look over the aisle and there was a 10-year-old girl who was interacting with one of the cats who'd come into the audience. And the look on her face was, That was definitely one of the elements that caused me to cry like a baby during memory, was seeing this little girl being, you know, moved in the way that I was, I'm sure.
So I don't know if you're in a relationship now or not, in a way that's irrelevant to this question. When you've had boyfriends over the years, did it matter if they shared your taste or even your interest in popular culture?
I think it matters to some extent. I don't think I could be with someone that had terrible taste. I don't think I would be okay, you know, having to go to Grateful Dead concerts or see Star Wars movies. But I also know that that is not necessarily a deal breaker. And one part of a healthy relationship is one person having things that they're interested in and the other not necessarily feeling obligated to attend every cultural event that they want to check out. I didn't, you know, watch Game of Thrones with my last boyfriend. I was in the next room.
What makes you one of the few people who don't like Game of Thrones?
A few things. Dragons, rape. I mean, there's so many overlapping categories of this particular Venn diagram of not for me.
So I was thinking I'd maybe end the interview the same way I ended my interview with Don Rickles. And this is a question that I've only ever asked Don Rickles, but I think I'll ask it to you too, and I may regret it. But fortunately, we edit the show, so if I don't like the answer, we can just take it out. So the question is, would you insult me?
Not for $1 million.
Ah, oh, come on.
I love you so much, Terry. Can I insult you? I really don't know if I can.
Okay.
I just,
all right.
There,
I don't want to put
I,
you
I don't
on
know,
the spot.
Like,
I thought it would come
no,
naturally.
No, I wouldn't hear. I wouldn't insult you. I wouldn't insult, you know, Madonna. There's certain people that I am often
mentioned in the same sentence as her. It happens to me all the time.
You're more self-aware about your singing. I'll say that. Oh, I just did insult Madonna. No, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do that. I couldn't insult you. I'm not going to insult my dad. Certain people that are off limits.
Oh, okay. Julie Klausner, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, my God. Terry, thank you so much for having me.
Julie Klausner, the creator, writer, and co-star of Difficult People, the Hulu sitcom that launched its third season earlier this month. Coming up, film critic Justin Chang reviews the new independent film, Patty Cakes, which caused a stir at this year's Sundance Film Festival. This is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. The film Patty Cakes premiered earlier this year at the Sundance Film Festival, where it became an audience hit and was acquired for distribution by Fox Searchlight Pictures. It's the first feature written and directed by Jeremy Jasper. Film critic Justin Chang has this review.
The title of the warmly exuberant new musical comedy, Patty Cakes, is one of the many aliases of Patricia Dombrowski, a hard-luck New Jersey bartender and aspiring rapper, played by the splendid Australian newcomer Danielle McDonald. Patty's best friend, Jerry, played by Siddharth Dhananjay, calls her Killapee. Around the neighborhood, she's known as Dumbo, a cruel riff on Dombrowski. One especially nasty type, mocking her large frame, calls her White Precious, in reference to the 2009 drama starring Gabourey Sidibe as a girl who suffered terrible abuse at the hands of her mother. Patty's mom, Barb, isn't anywhere near as cruel or monstrous, just drunk and irresponsible. Most evenings she storms into the karaoke bar where her daughter works, downs several shots, and sings a lovely, quavering solo, only to end the night with her head over a toilet. Played in a blistering, sweet-and-sour performance by the New York cabaret legend Bridget Everett, Barb once longed to be a singer, but she disdains Patty's dreams of stardom, claiming that rap isn't really music anyway. Patty herself may not be much of a musician, but there's no doubting she's a natural-born poet. Whether she's improvising some lines in a parking lot with Jerry, or defeating a local bully in an outdoor hip-hop battle, she proves herself a terrific wordsmith, a master at synthesizing tough-talking slang, pop-cultural references, and no shortage of expletives into an exhilarating stream of rhyming verse. Few of her lyrics can be repeated on the air, though we can play an excerpt from a scene in which Patty drops by the pharmacy where Jerry works, and the two of them take advantage of the store's PA system, not for the first time.
Lords and ladies of the royal court, bow down. The queen is in the building. Introducing Miss Patricia Dabrowski, a.k.a. Patty Cakes, a.k.a. White Trish, a.k.a. Gypsy Luciano, a.k.a. Marilyn Manson, a.k.a. Jane Doe, a.k.a. Killer P!
And introducing the lady's choice, the voice that gets you pissed, it's gonna be an Indian, some of y'all, Mr. Jerry Curls, a.k.a. Young Stables, a.k.a. Deepak Shakur, a.k.a. the Durag Da Vinci, a.k.a. Raw Dog Zillionaire, a.k.a. the Quiet Storm, boys and girls, I give you my soulmate, my homie-o, it's Jeromeo!
This isn't Showtime at the Apollo, okay? We have customers here. Play make-believe on your lunch break.
Sorry, my bad.
Last warning, Harish.
Patty and Jerry's jam sessions are the beginning of something potentially epic, and the juices really get flowing once they meet a mysterious goth loner with the memorable name of Bastard the Antichrist, played by Mamoudou Atti. Bastard is a punk rocker, but his rage-fueled performances hide a gentle, tender soul, and he reluctantly agrees to lay down some beats for an album. Also getting in on the action is Patty's wheelchair-bound Nana, played by Kathy Moriarty of Raging Bull fame, whose raspy line delivery becomes a pretty killer hook. The band is called PBNJ, an acronym of everyone's first initials that also happens to sum up the appeal of Patty Cakes. It's sweet and messy and a little square around the edges, but it's also pretty irresistible. The movie was written and directed by Jeremy Jasper, a New Jersey musician making his feature film debut. He also worked with composer Jeremy Binnick on the film's score and wrote an album's worth of songs for the soundtrack, ranging from the impromptu raps that Patty spits out every morning to the fiery love song that Barb once performed years ago under the stage name Barb Wire. Patty Cakes is a canny mix of slickness and grit, a Cinderella story in dirty Jersey drag. It's about an honest, hard-working girl who rises above her dead-end existence with the help of some supportive friends, a bit of romance, and above all, her own irrepressible, overflowing talent. There's hardly a single Star is Born, let's put on a show cliché that the movie leaves untouched. But the music is so high-spirited, and the actors throw themselves into their parts with such gusto, that you always feel those clichés are being wholeheartedly embraced rather than exploited. In telling a story about a fictional white rapper, Patty Cakes is likely to generate questions and accusations of cultural appropriation in a movie industry that, the occasional Straight Outta Compton aside, doesn't often give black artists their proper due. The fact that McDonald had never rapped before taking on the role of Patty may well be wielded as a criticism rather than hailed as evidence of the actress's astonishing talent. The movie is self-aware enough to acknowledge the issue in one key scene, in which Patty gets dismissed by a black rap star as a culture vulture. But Jasper never makes undue claims for his heroine or tries to pump her up into someone she isn't. When Patty steps up to the mic and lets loose with her sensational gift, the voice we hear is hers and hers alone.
Justin Chang is a film critic at the Los Angeles Times. On Monday's show, how a young Winston Churchill earned distinction and tested his mettle in war.
He wanted to be in the most difficult, most dangerous battles he could find, and he wanted to be noticed. He wanted to stand out.
We speak with Candace Millard about her new book, Hero of the Empire, The Boer War, A Daring Escape, and the Making of Winston Churchill. Hope you can join us. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer today is Roberta Sherrock. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham. Our associate producer for online media is Molly C.V. Nesper. Teresa Madden directed today's show. For Terry Gross, I'm David B. Inculli.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Home Advisor, matching homeowners with background-checked professionals for a variety of home projects, from minor repairs to major remodels. Homeowners can read reviews, compare prices, and book appointments online at homeadvisor.com. And from Whole Foods Market, offering lunchbox staples geared to children, including sandwich and snack ideas using natural and organic ingredients. A variety of back-to-school items are available at Whole Foods Market. We believe in real food.